Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Welcome to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast.
Bringing you the latest from the world of sports, DFS, and gambling. With over 5 years of hot takes and millions of downloads later, I guess he's been doing something right. Now, sit back and listen to one of the sharpest minds in the game. Here's your host, Dwayne Callender.
All right, folks. You know, it is Sunday fun day, but let's just talk about what went down last night. I already knew I needed to open up the show with this, but can we just fire Brandon Staley? Can we just get this over with? Because I know the Spanos family is cheap, and I know they don't like paying money. So the Sean Payton deal may be getting too rich for their blood. So now they may have to go to a backup plan. But the fact that you have Justin Herbert on a rookie contract and this schmuck ruining his rookie contract deal, where now you're going to have to start letting guys go that should be playing better than they are. So it's not even like they're ruining contract, but they're not getting coached up properly. Brandon Staley has to go. Like, you are up 27-0 over the Jaguars and somehow managed to lose this game. This was supposed to be like a news recap of some of the other stuff I wanted to get to in addition to just referencing what I had already mentioned for these NFL games. But Brandon Staley effed this up so horrifically that I actually have to lead off with Brandon Staley being a complete jackass, even more than normal, because he somehow managed to blow a 27-0 lead with a Jags team. The Jaguars had one of the worst openings I've ever seen from an NFL team. Trevor Lawrence was so jittery. He threw multiple interceptions in the first quarter. We had 3 first quarter interceptions. The Jags had 5. We had a +5 turnover margin for the Chargers, and he somehow managed to lose this game. Do you know how hard that is? To be up, like, I'm not even sure we ever had a game in NFL history where a team has had a +5 turnover margin and somehow lost the game. I'm pretty sure that's the first time ever in NFL, at least for the playoffs. Maybe in the regular season. But for the playoffs, you somehow lose a game where you are up 5 in the turnover margin? It should never happen. It is inexplicable. And also, the fact that Austin Eckler is your best player. He is your best player. He cannot get a single carry. No carries for the second half for Eckler. This is just, it is beyond inexcusable. It's beyond inexcusable how the Chargers lost this game. I can't put into words just how tilting it was watching this game, because I'm just as annoyed at watching this game as Al Michaels was calling it, because this was not a good football game. Everyone wants to talk about, oh, what a great comeback. It's not a comeback. It's just It's a complete and utter miserable slog of the Chargers shooting themselves in just in the crotch repeatedly. I want to know, like, how many useless three-step drops the Chargers did trying to check the ball to a crowd of wide receivers. You can use screen passes to Eckler. Like, there are ways of putting Keenan Allen in the slot. There are so many things the Chargers could have done to actually alleviate the situation that they refused to do. Like, it's beyond inexcusable how dysfunctional the Chargers' offense was. Because they keep trying to, like, they keep trying to make these intermediate passing routes work when you're up three scores. Just run the clock. You need to run the clock. You need to keep the clock moving. The clock is your friend. You use the clock as a weapon against the other team. The Chargers are just chucking, and allow the Jags to hang around because it was 27-7 at halftime. They gave up a cheap touchdown at the end of the half. And then the Jags were able to get another touchdown, try to go for two, which we always make fun of. Like, I'm not even going to get into this. I'm not even going to get into the fact that Doug Peterson, everyone's talking about, oh, what a call to go for two. If he kicked the extra point and he kicked the other extra point, they'd be in the exact same freaking spot. Like, it has nothing to do with him going for two. I'm tired of doing this rant. But literally, this was just the Chargers inexplicably cannot, like, they're trying to run out of formations you're not supposed to run out of. So, they're literally running out of suboptimal running formations. When they're up multiple scores, they're trying to run with the not correct personnel. So, they don't have the proper blocking personnel. That's one of the reasons why they're struggling to run the ball so much is they're running out of shitty formations. Like, just point blank. They're not going to jumbo formations. Yeah, are you telegraphing run plays if you're going with your larger package? Yeah, but it's the job of the other team to stop you when you go big. The Chargers didn't even try that. Like, the Chargers just try to, like, go in passing formations and try to run out of it with three wide receivers. Like, it is hard watching NFL and covering the NFL to the extent I do. And see professional teams run so haphazardly where it makes no rhyme or reason as to how they're approaching the game. It is inexcusable. It's utterly inexcusable how the Chargers, again, I'm being perfectly blunt here. The Chargers had a +5 turnover ratio. They even got a benefit of a punt dunk plunking off of a dude's helmet, and they recovered the fumble. Like, there were so many screw ups by the Jags that the epicness of how badly the Chargers fumbled that game away, you can't put into words how friggin' annoying that game was, because both teams deserved to lose that game. The Jags have no business playing next week. The Chargers definitely have no business playing next week. That was one of the worst played games I've ever seen. And that was a playoff game on national TV. Everyone wants to talk about how exciting the comeback was. That's not a comeback. That's just a fuck up. Like, it's just colossal in that. Coaching malfeasance going on there. There's so many ways the Chargers could have put that game away with actual proper play calling, and they were just outright refusal to do the basics. It's just infuriating watching that and try to break it down from a technical aspect, because it's one of the worst coaching jobs I have ever seen from a professional team. Like, that was not a professional game of football. I'm sorry. Like, I'm being perfectly blunt. That was not a professional game of football. You can have missteps and miscalculations of what's going on. They're like, that can happen. And by the way, the line ended up closing with the Chargers favored by 2. Which, again, I disagreed with vehemently. But there were people live betting Chargers money line at minus 12,000. Which is one of the dumbest things possible. Someone lost over $1 million betting live betting on the Chargers, even though they were only going to win maybe 10 grand. You deserve to lose your million, by the way, for doing that. Like, there is no bet worth taking a minus 12,000 with a sports book. No. Like, not 12, minus 1,200. Minus 12,000. There is no bet worth taking. I'm sorry. It's not worth it. Things happen in sports. That should never happen. Now, there are people who are victory lapping because they took the plus 10,000 side with the Jags. You shouldn't be victory lapping that either because the Jags needed to lose that game. There are just too many things going on where you know how poorly coached the Chargers are that Brandon Staley should not be the head coach of the Chargers past Monday. If he survives Monday, it's a bigger indictment on the Chargers organization as a whole than anything else I can actually say about them being cheapskates. Because if you can actually tolerate that, man, you, like, pretty much anybody can walk over you as an employee. Because that, again, the Chargers are a Super Bowl built roster with a quarterback on a rookie deal. They should be making playoff runs to the AFC title game the last 2 years. They didn't make the playoffs last year. They blew a 27-point lead in the wild card round on the road because they screwed around so much during the regular season that they had to play on the road. Yeah. You could say the Chiefs are so good. The Chiefs are not that good this year. The Chiefs are vulnerable. The Chiefs are where they are because of the fact that there are so many screw-ups in the AFC that the Chiefs basically take advantage of teams screwing up that they get by the simple fact that, you know, at the end of the day, they can get away with their talent and just being smarter than everybody else. I want to be clear here. In terms of just the magnitude of the screw-up, because this is, we've seen the 28-3 from the Falcons, and we talk about that. I mean, I talk about that all the time, about how Kyle Shanahan, like, thinks about that game every time he's coaching, because he's learned that harsh lesson about what happens when you screw around with teams that when you know you need to put the game away. Like, this Chargers squad, they've blown double-digit leads over the past 2 years, like giving away candy. As I said, if Brandon Staley is still employed by the end of the day Monday, it's an bigger indictment on the Chargers organization than anything else I could say. It is profoundly disturbing. You can blow a 27-0 lead, and this is a non-discussion. Like, people are like, oh, and again, it came out of the woodworks with the Staley folks and the defenders and, like, his coaching tree from McVay. Like, they're all trying to back him. It's like, oh, he's a good guy. The expectations are different. And again, it's a non-media market, so, like, there are no Chargers fans to speak of in L.A. The San Diego fans are still pissed that they left, so they don't really have a true fan base to get on their ass. And the media's not going to check them because no one really cares about the Chargers. They would care more about the Raiders than they would the Chargers. It's not a football town, so they can get away with it. This is more of a national sort. But if we're holding them the Spanos family accountable, there is no way Brandon Staley should last past the end of the day Monday. There's no way. There's no way he should be able to last past the end of the day Monday as the head coach. It's just that simple. All right, so some of the other news items I wanted to get to before I talk about and just, again, recap some of the stuff I talked about from the NFL. Francis Ngannou and the UFC have agreed to a termination of contract. So Ngannou is free to pursue career opportunities elsewhere in the fighting championship. And now the heavyweight champion of the world has been stripped of his belt by the UFC. Dana White and the UFC, whom I didn't get a chance to talk about this, given everything that I had going on the last week and a half, but the puff piece is covering Dana White. I mean, Dana White slapping his wife in public and not even getting so much as a reprimand is stunning. Not the fact that he didn't get punished. It's the fact that no one in the media really is talking about it. Like, ESPN seems scared to death of pissing off Dana White with negative press coverage. You know, because Dana White's saying, "Oh, well, if I punish myself, that only hurts the UFC brand." Dana has other bosses at Endeavor. Like, as a company, as a hedge fund, like, you guys good with having a public facing employee like smacking his wife in public and no one doing anything about, like, again, what's it say about your culture that basically some guys are untouchable? Like, that's how, let's be honest here, that's how the Harvey Weinstein stuff kind of was allowed to perpetuate itself for years. And I'm not saying that Dana White's like a sexual predator or anything like that. But the pervasive blasé attitude of, yeah, you know, that's just Dana, like, you know, things happen. That's how you get that. When you get those scandals down the line of, oh, wait a second, what the hell happened here? That's where it starts from. When you, like, start looking past stuff and just say, well, you know, it is what it is. Like, we can't do anything else. It's just wild. So there's the Dana White not getting any kind of reprimand or, you know, time away or suspension, fine. I mean, even if you're not going to suspend him, at least fine to do. Like, what is this? What are we doing here? Like, just utterly bizarre. And it's not covered. Not covered. ESPN not covering it. CBS didn't cover it. Fox didn't cover it for certain. Nobody in the major media covers it. It's like, you're trying to treat the UFC like a major sport. What major sport can have the commissioner or the CEO, like, assault their wife in public and no one says anything or has an outcry? Like, I'm just saying, it is what it is, but it, like, that was wild, seeing the lack of coverage. And then, you know, I'm going to say this to my soccer friends. I shouldn't say that. Before I get to the soccer stuff, so Ngannou's gone from the UFC, and then the UFC and John Jones agreed to an 8-year contract extension. I mean, talk about Dan White sweeping things under the rug. You try to bury Ngannou and say Ngannou is too scared to compete in the division. And then you bring in John Jones off of basically a 3-year layover where you swore you would never work with John Jones again. And now you're saying, oh, I can't wait to bring him back. And like, it is just wild how, like, this UFC news cycle has gone on. So for those of you who don't recall, John Jones, whom I consider to be the greatest pound-for-pound fighter in UFC history, you know, was middleweight, then was the long-standing light heavyweight champion of the world. Did Jones start at, I thought he had 2 fights at middleweight, then he moved up to light heavyweight. Pretty sure that was the case. Anyway, it was 4, man, I gotta look at Jones' track record again. I think it was the first 5 or 6 fights at middleweight before he moved up to light heavyweight. But anyway, long-standing light heavyweight champion, stripped of the belt numerous times for numerous off-the-field transgressions. I'll leave it at that. Not Deshaun Watson type transgressions, but it wasn't that. It wouldn't shock me either if Bones had something reported similar of that nature, given some of the things he's got going on. But, you know, John Jones coming back, kind of wild, in my opinion. You're going to get a fight with Ciryl Gane to start off for the interim belt because they stripped it from Ngannou. Dana White says Jones is the highest paid heavyweight in UFC history. So basically he's saying Ngannou would have been the highest paid heavyweight in history. So was he going to pay Ngannou more than John Jones? I doubt it. But since we never know what the true contract figures are in the UFC, we'll never actually know if Dana was lying or not about what Ngannou was offered. But very unique day in the UFC, to say the least, with the news breaking yesterday about Ngannou getting released from his contract and then John Jones coming back. Very interesting news and time for the UFC. All right, moving on, because I know my soccer friends wanted to talk about the Premier League. Arsenal still at the top of the table. Manchester City somehow losing to United. United back in the top four. Well, they were in the top four, but now they're top three. Point behind City. Just a very weird situation where, you know, Arsenal's at the top of the league table. And I want to be clear here because, you know, folks, what I keep saying is like, you know, when can we start talking about... there were 38 games in the Premier League season. We are barely at... like, we aren't even at 20. So, like, basically, we are at 18 games played. We're at 18 games played. You know, could Arsenal win the league at this point? Yeah, but there's so much football left to be played. You know, if Arsenal beat Tottenham today, they're 8 points clear of Manchester City. It's a big lead. But crazier things have happened in the Premier League. I've been watching the Premier League for over 30 years. Weird things happen. Like, I think folks get way too carried away with how the table looks at a given moment. Realistically, from the points accrual through the first 15 games, it's hard to lose a lead position. But it's not the craziest thing in the world either. So I think people need to bear in mind, we aren't even halfway through the year yet. We got the winter months going through. You know, we still don't know what the long-term effects of the World Cup are going to be. Because you played a true World Cup in the middle of the season. Player legs are going to get tired. Rotation's going to matter even more so than in most years. You know, the depth of rosters are going to matter. And City still has the deepest roster in the Premier League far and away. No matter how many more millions of dollars Chelsea wants to spend, because I think we're going to clear north of $800 million Chelsea has spent in the past 6 months on players, and still are mid-table, which, again, probably is more of a testament to Roman Abramovich than anything else, that all these other dudes try to pretend to be him and failing miserably. Again, there's a lot of Premier League football left to be played. I will cover the Premier League in greater detail as football season winds down. But I know people wanted to talk about it. It's like, we have no idea how this North London derby could go. Arsenal could lose on the road at Spurs, and it wouldn't shock me. Now, given the form Spurs has been playing in, I have no idea what Spurs team we're going to get. But, you know, because that Villa loss that they had was one of the most... one of the most atrocious performances of the Premier League season by far. Yeah, it's interesting to say the least how the Premier League is shaping up, but long way to go. Anyway, getting back into the NFL, we're going to take a quick break, circle back with, again, my thoughts on the NFL based off what I seen yesterday and how I think today's going to play out. We'll get some thoughts again, recap everything, and come back. But we'll be back shortly, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. The Fantasy Throwdown Podcast will be right back after our sponsors pay the bills. Welcome back to the show. Hope you got your popcorn ready.
All right, we are back. And, you know, basically where I kind of want to talk about was, you know, few notes. So Adoree Jackson, cornerback for the Giants, is slated to come back into the fold against the Vikings today. Again, I told you guys from the outset, I think the team most likely to lose this weekend was the Vikings. That was a favorite. You know, I still maintain that. You know, could the Vikings win this game? Absolutely. But I think this game's close, and I think, you know, it's one of those where it's like, yeah, it's the popular public pick. The experts are on it, so, like, if we're all on it, usually that means it backfires and somehow Minnesota has a monster game. But you haven't seen it from the Vikings. Like, they haven't shown the wherewithal to do the little things that they need to do to take care of business. Like, that's the problem. They haven't shown it at all. So to me, it's one of those cases where I'm just not sold that, you know, they take care of business here. I'm just not. So when I have to come back and look at what we're going to get from these teams, I expect more screw-ups from the Vikings. And I expect that, you know, the Giants are going to play solid. You know, they're not going to be, you know, they're not going to be, like, the cleanest team. They're not. You know, the Giants, like, but the Giants' mistakes are limited to not necessarily being bad. Well, no, it is them being bad in general. Like, their talent level, I should say. It's not necessarily sins of commission. It's more sins of omission because they can't necessarily make some of the plays because of a skill gap difference that leads to some of their miscues. But they can do basic stuff enough, and this Vikings team stinks at the basics. They're not good with the basics. So for me, this is just one of those cases where I am still heavily on the Giants. We'll see how it goes, but I'm definitely on the Giants. I think the Bills game is closer than people expect. So I got no issues. If you played the parlays, the teasers, you already got on the plus side of the Jags. I still like the Dolphins side of it, but if you're listening as a three-team teaser, then I would go Dolphins and Giants and call it a day. I'm just not sold on this this Ravens situation. Like, we got a real chance that Tyler Huntley doesn't even play tonight, and it's a third-string QB. And Anthony Brown, you know, I know I was talking about this guy, but Anthony Brown legitimately doesn't really throw the ball. So we could get, like, one of those situations where it's like a Malik Willis is a kind of a game where, yeah, the Titans eventually having to bench him because they didn't trust him to throw the ball more than 5 yards down the field. It's tough to give a read on the Ravens situation because I don't know if they're trying to slow play us or Huntley is legitimately that jacked up. But the story that I think people need to pay attention to is the fact that Lamar Jackson did not travel with the Ravens to Cincinnati, which is weird because He traveled with them to Cincinnati for last week or for week 18. So why is he not there? Like, it's a weird, it's a very weird situation between Lamar and the Ravens. I don't know if the Ravens told Lamar not to show up, but it's a bad, it's a weird look. It's a weird look. I'm not going to lie. It's like, it's a weird look. Lamar not being there. So don't know what to make of it, but it was interesting to say the least, in my opinion. But yeah, you know, so again, I like the Giants. I think the Dolphins keep it close, but I still expect the Bills to win. I just don't expect the Bills to cover, because that spread is still massive. I think the Dolphins cover it. But if you want to take a stab on throwing the Dolphins into a teaser with the Giants, I don't necessarily have a huge problem with it, but I don't think it's necessary. I think you might as well just bet the Giants outright rather than try to mess around with a Dolphins teaser. I would just rather bet the Giants money line outright. Still way too, not enough news on the Ravens side. I'm not recording later on because I'm going to be preoccupied with the Giants game that I am just not going to be able to get to the Ravens-Cincinnati game. But in terms of roster construction for Showdown, I would say focus on you're either going to get a T. Higgins game or Ja'Marr Chase game. Chase is the more likely side. Could you play Joe Burrow? Absolutely. But I think it's a case where you can play Chase up top. You play Mark Andrews because the Ravens got to throw to someone. And even if it's dump offs to Mark Andrews, I think Mark Andrews is viable. The only question is, do you want to play Joe Mixon or not? I am more inclined to playing Joe Mixon just because I know you can run on the Ravens. Even though Joe Mixon does not have a good track record against the Ravens, I get if you want to fade Mixon and just play Dobbins instead. I'm not going to begrudge it. But if the Bengals get up early by a decent number, Dobbins could be utterly useless in the matchup. Because I'm not entirely sold that the Ravens give him 20 carries. Even though, logically, you would think the Ravens would give him 20-plus carries with no Lamar. It hasn't necessarily been the case, so I'm not necessarily sold on that front. So that's how I would build out roster construction for Showdown tonight for Ravens and Cincinnati. And then for the Tampa-Dallas game, I could see this sledgehammer going a couple of different ways, but I'm probably going to be more inclined to play the kickers and the captain, And it's a dangerous proposition, but I don't think it's that dangerous because Tampa has allowed a ton of points to field goal kickers. Like, they'll, similar to the Vikings, they'll give up chunks of yards and then hope that they can slow you down enough that you just kick a field goal. So, Brett Maher, you can contemplate in the captain. Because building with CeeDee Lamb just makes it really tough. You're going to have to rely on, like, cheap dart throws like a Cade Otton at 1,800 to make it work in the flex, or a Pender shot at 200, or Ferguson at 200, like, or even the Cameron Brate. Like, you got to rely on really cheap players to make it work. But it makes more sense taking the Cowboys side of things, where you got Dalton Schultz and between Ferguson and Hendershot to play those guys in the flex. Speaking of Schultz, I would be tempted to play Dalton Schultz in the captain, except for the fact that there's so much of a connection where Dak is proactively trying to get the ball to CD that I have a harder time prioritizing Schultz, because Schultz is not cheap. Schultz is over 6K. On Showdown. So even as I'm recording this Sunday, maybe my thoughts change, but you know, it's tough working in Schultz unless you play a kicker or play one of the cheaper tight ends. And like, I don't feel like double dipping with the two tight ends from Dallas, even against Tampa, because it's harder to get there with tight ends because the volume isn't necessarily there from a target share standpoint compared to the wide receivers. So I would almost rather play T.Y. Hilton in the captain as opposed to Schultz. And that way, if I play Hilton, again, and they kind of negatively correlate, but at least if I play Hilton, I can fit in Schultz and CD together with Dak and then run it back with some cheap plays on the Tampa side. But again, it's so unbalanced that I don't think you could fit in CD Lamb and Schultz, and I'd rather play Lamb. So, you know, it's a whole lot to say that it depends on how you want to build out your roster, but you can't fit everyone, and you're going to have to make some sacrifices in terms of your roster construction. But, you know, I still think there's a scenario where the Bucks take care of business and roll easily over the Cowboys. I could see the Cowboys, and in particular Dak, having a monster game and just crushing me, and Cowboys fans dialing me up and talking about how about them Cowboys. I could see that too, but you know, it's not. I still don't think it's the. I don't think it's as one sided as it could be. I think this is just ends up being a tight game throughout the contest, and you know, eventually it gets settled by field goals. Between Dallas and Tampa, I don't necessarily see one team pulling away from the other, but man, they play such bad football that I can't be shocked if someone gets stomped, because again, we've seen some awful football football from both teams. So it's an interesting game, to say the least. So anyway, in terms of the variance, like, there's a wide spectrum of outcomes in that game, more than any other game this weekend, in my opinion, between Tampa and Dallas, because they can run the gambit and it wouldn't necessarily shock me. So that's going to do it for me. I'm going to get on out of here, but thanks for listening, and yeah, enjoy the games, everyone. Have a good one.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe to the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all major outlets.